This shir is dedicated to Lilui Nishmos of Chaim Yisochar ben Yechiel Zeigeldov, our dear and unforgettable friend, Chaim Feigenbaum. I apologize that you have to go through this torture listening to my voice today, but this is something beyond my control. I have a bad throat infection, and I hope I'll be well in the very near future. The topic we will be discussing today, the first Parsha in Chumash Shemois, Parsha Shemois, is a very general topic. And this is a shiur of a nature which I am very fond of, because we are dealing with a general shaila, a general topic that has ramifications and implications in very, very many halachic dilemmas, that some of them are negei lamaisa, Mamish halacha lamaisa. And as I defined the topic, is it permissible to be oiva aveira bekum v'asei when the rationale, our purpose, is to prevent the matzav in which the same aveira will be committed by others to a far more damaging effect? Whenever we deal with general dilemmas, they will become more understandable, more concrete, more tangible as we move forward, as we put the dilemmas and the sugyas on the table. In this week's parsha, the pasuk says, "Vayelech ish mebeis Levi v'yikach es bas Levi." Rashi on the spot brings the Gemara in Sota Yud Beis Amud Aleph, "Lahechen holach?" Where did he come from, and where did he go? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Zvina. Shalach b'tzad bito. Amram gdol ador haya. He was the greatest of his generation. And when Parai decreed, kol haben hayalod haya ora tashlichuhu, that all the male babies should be destroyed, should be killed, Amar Amram l'shov anu amelim. Why should we bring children to the world? It is futile. It is senseless. We are bringing children to the world only to have them killed and murdered. Piresh me'ishto, he divorced his wife. And then his daughter confronted him, and she said, Abba, kashag zeratcha yoter mishol paroi. Paroi gozadei l'aschorem, v'yate gazata l'aschorem v'alanakevois. Paroi arosha, sofek mitkayemet gzerato, sofek ena mitkayemet. Ata tzadik bevadai, shegzeratcha mitkayemet. So he was the god of the door, but nevertheless, his daughter said things that make sense. Amad ve'chzir et ishto, amdu kulam ve'chziru et nishoteim. So the first moral of tonight's shir is, as great and as big as you may be, listen to your daughter. Sometimes they make sense. So Amram was the god of the door, but nevertheless, he listened to his daughter, and he regretted his ruling, what he did, took back his wife. What was the logic of Amram? The logic was, why bring children to the world to have them destroyed? It would be better to abstain from bringing children than bringing children and having them killed. But obviously, this was a mistake, and he himself accepted his daughter's argument. No. What was his daughter's point? We could offer two different interpretations, two different arguments. One is, regardless of what might happen, you have a mitzvah to perform. Let a Kodesh Baruch Hu take care of his world. Egzera is egzera. But what is incumbent upon us has to be performed. We have to be mekayem our mitzvahs regardless of what the consequences might be. Argument number two. Gzera avide de batli. The Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Gzera avide de batli, v'tekante de rabbonan mekam gzera lo akrinan. We do not abolish or push aside et konas chachomim because of gzera. Decrees and gzeras by nature are temporary. Let's hope and pray every moment, every day, that these decrees will be abolished and invalidated. So why be mevatel a mitzvah because of a gezeira? After all, It'll take a minimum of 9 months till those babies are born. Let's hope that in 9 months' time, people won't even remember that there was a Gezeira. There's a similar Gemara, a similar argument that we find in Brochas Daf Yud Omed Aleph. Cheskio HaMelech was Mevatel the Mitzvah of Prior Via. Cheskio was the most righteous of all Malchi Yisrael, and he fell ill. And the Navi Yeshayahu comes to visit the king Cheskio. And Yeshayahu and Navi says, Meisatu velo techye, meitata bi'olam hazeh velo techye le'olam haba. And the king asks, V'kol kach lamo, why? Am I that bad? Why would I lose olam hazeh and olam haba? And the Navi says, Mepnei shelo yosakto bepriya orvio. So Cheskio says, I saw in Ruach HaKodesh, by divine providence, by divine spirit, I saw in Ruach HaKodesh that I will have wicked children, and therefore I don't want to have children. And the Navi says, Ma de mifked sibo yelach le'eved, v'HaKodesh Baruch Hu ma de nichalei le'eved. You have a mitzvah to perform, and you cannot make any cheshbonos. What is Min HaShemayim is Min HaShemayim, and that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in this case, we can't argue that Gzeira Avida de Batla. What Cheskio HaMelech sees in Ruach HaKodesh is Ruach HaKodesh. And that is to be... We don't doubt the validity and the emes of Cheskio HaMelech's Ruach HaKodesh. But nevertheless, what the Navi says is not... Let's hope you will have good children. No, Ruach HaKodesh is Ruach HaKodesh. What the Navi says is, Ma de mifkede sibo elach le'eved, v'ma de nichalei la'kodesh baruch hu le'eved. So maybe that would be the same argument regarding Amram and his daughter. One could differentiate between the two sugyas, and in reality they are not one and the same. When Cheskio HaMelech sees that he's going to have wicked children are wicked children, but they're still children. And you're still Mekayim, the mitzvah of Priya Urviya. What does it have to do with Priya Urviya? So that is no basis for abstaining from the Kiyum of mitzvahs Priya Urviya. However, having children just to have them killed and destroyed, that is the antithesis of Priya Urviya. The Mishnah Gittin of Memala from Amud Beis indicates very strongly that the essence of Priya Urviya is Yeshuvo Shel Olam. Quoting the Lashon of the Mishnah, Halo lo nivra ha'olam ela bishur Priya Urviya shenemar lo tohu bra'a l'sheves yitzoro. That is a very famous Mishnah. So the Mishnah makes it clear that essentially what Priya Urviya is all about is Yeshuvo Shel Olam. Bringing children to the world, to have them annihilated and destroyed, is Churbano Shel Olam, lo Yeshuvo Shel Olam. And therefore, why would there be a mitzvah of Priya Urviya if the kids will be killed anyway? Therefore, as a counter-argument to this logic, we must say Gzeira Avida de Batla. Decrees are not forever. Let's hope they will be Batla. So these two arguments are of different nature, and therefore they could be refuted by only different svaras, different logic, and different arguments. The Beis Yosef in Yoredeya Semakufnu in Zion, in Bedek HaBayis, brings a very tragic story. And we spoke about this Shaila in different opportunities. The Beis Yosef brings an argument that was B'Shas HaGzeira. One Rav said that B'Shas HaGzeira Shmad, when we are forced to worship idols and be mevatel mitzvah Torah, children should be destroyed, our children, in order to ensure that there would not be korbonos to gzeiras shmad, that they would not be taken out of our people, out of our nation, and turned into ovdei avodah zarah. So most of these gzeiras were at the times of the crusade by various different Christian warriors. So one of the Gedolim argued, we should kill the children. If their parents will be destroyed, we cannot leave the children. And actually children were killed. And another Gedol, another Rav, argued. He was very angry, and he called the first Rav Eroitzayach, and he said, let's hope and pray that the Gzeiris will be battle, but we cannot, with our own hands, destroy our own children. And the Bessie Yosef writes that the Gzeira was a battle, and in retrospect, they all realized that they killed children without any justification. And if those children would be alive, they would grow up to be good, God-fearing, and Torah-observing Jews. So this is just an example of the concept of Gzeira, Avida, the battle. Basically, the dilemma that we have here, will we be mevatel a mitzvah because by the performance of the mitzvah, we're just exacerbating the crime? Maybe it is better not to have children than to have children that will be killed, annihilated, and destroyed. So we have similar dilemmas in other areas of halacha. Are we to be oiva on a mitzvah in order to prevent a situation in which others will do the same in a greater measure? There's a psak of the Ramo, Yoredei Shin Samaches, in the first sif. Ein lekach mekarka oilam shel keva. Fruits, grass, flowers, growing between the graves in a Jewish cemetery, are asur b'hanoah. Besides the Issa Noah, there is also an Issa of Kavoid Hameis. And therefore one should not pick fruit or take flowers that grow in a cemetery. However, if we are short on funds to care for the cemetery and to prevent the bezoyin of Kavoid Hameis, then we could use those flowers, those fruits, or whatever it is. And the source of this halacha, two tshuvas of Gedolei Ashkenaz, Tumas Edeshen and Mahari Vail, quoted by the Ramo. The Moshel, the governor, the mayor, had a herd of sheep, and they used to graze in the cemetery. And we asked him to keep them out of the cemetery. The only way to fight them was we needed money. It isn't specified in the tshuva why they needed money. Was it to build a fence around the cemetery? Was it to take him to court for a legal battle? Whatever it was, they needed money to care for the cemetery and to be menea, animals, sheep and goats or cows to graze in the cemetery. And the Marivan and Tumas Edeshen, quoted in the Ramo, all say, if that is the case, you could use the flowers or the fruit and sell them. Because it is permissible to be pogea in Kvoida Mason, a minimal pogea to prevent a maximum one. Even though what the goyim do, the goyim do. It is not that we are violating Kvoid HaMeis. But if we take those flowers or fruits, we are violating Kvoid HaMeis. Afar Pikein. It's better that we are pogea, a minimal pogea in Kvoid HaMeis, to prevent a greater desecration of Kvoid HaMeis. Both bring the same raya. Chizkiyo HaMelech shekitzetz daltot ha-heichal and send the doors of the Heichal as a gift to Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Ashur. Why did he do so? Because of the threat that Nebuchadnezzar would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So the story is told in Sefer Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Ches. ויתן חזקיה את כל הכסף הנמצא בייס השם ובאוצרות בייס המלך. בעת ההיא קיצץ חזקיה דלתות היכל השם ואת האומנות אשר ציפה חזקיה מלך יהודה ויתנם למלך אשור. And the Biragla quotes it on the spot. חזקיה unhinged the doors of the היכל sent them to Nebuchadnezzar, trying to save, to salvage the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that we are entitled to be mechalal the Mikdash, to save the Mikdash. The same rule would apply to a Beis HaChaim. So the Divrei Melkiel, in his Tshuvos, Chelek Alef Semesamech Zayin, argues, it is not only to save the Beis HaMikdash from desecration, from Chilul, that he cut off the Alsa Sahechel, but rather to save the people. It was a very clear situation of Pikuach Nefesh. Because ultimately, when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he not only destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed and annihilated and destroyed with indescribable suffering. So maybe it is Pikuach Nefesh. But nevertheless, the Divrei Melkiel says that the logic is safe and sound, and we find similar halachas also by Kvod HaMeis on a more specific level. Even though it is a mitzvah to bury the dead as soon as possible, so he agrees to the ruling, even though he doubts the raya from Chizkiyah. Actually, one could ask a greater question, because in Psochem Daf Nun Vav, the Gemara says, Shishu devora masach Chizkiyahu HaMelech al shlusha hudu lo, val shlusha lo hudu lo. Chizkiyahu HaMelech did 6 outstanding deeds. 3 were positive, 3 were rejected by the Chachamim. And one of the things Chizkiyahu did, and the Chachamim did not agree, was Kitzetz Daltot HaHichal. So how could we prove a halacha from something Chizkiyahu did when the Chachamim were chaylik and rejected his logic and his behavior? I think it is not really a big kasha, because Rashi on the Splat says, why didn't the Chachamim agree? Hoya lo leftoach b'kodesh baruch hu sheftiach legunen al iyo. Malachim beis perek yutes, the pasuk says, lachein koyom rashem el melech ashur veganoisi al ha'ir hazot lo hushiya lemani ulaman David avdi. Let's bring some additional halachas, proving the same basic principle. Yoredei Reish Pei Beis Yiv Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says, Haya holech memakom lemakom v'sefer Torah imo. Lo yanechenu besak v'yanechenu al gabei achamor v'yirkav alav. Ela manicho b'cheiko keneged libo v'hu rochev al achamor. V'im haya mefached mepnei ganavim mutar. Person is traveling and he has a Sefer Torah. Well, there's no place in the overhead bin. He's sitting on a mule and he is short in space. So the halacha is you cannot sit on a Sefer Torah, even though that would be the most convenient way, because that is a bezoyin of Sefer Torah. But if you are a goyim and you're afraid they might steal and confiscate and take away that Sefer Torah, you could sit on it. Why? Is it for fear of monetary loss? Definitely not. Monetary loss wouldn't justify Chilul Sefer Torah. So the Das Kedoshim explains, and I think that is the simple interpretation, if the goyim will take that Sefer Torah, it definitely might be taken to terrible bezoyin. And therefore, it is better that we are mevazeh the Sefer Torah for a short while than the goyim should be mechalal the Sefer Torah in a far more drastic and tragic way. So this is the same as halacha number 1, Yeredei Shin Samaches. We prove the same point from Yeredei Simen Reish Pei Beis. Shavuos Yankov 300 years ago in Chelek Gimel Siman Yud Paskins, that if we have a lot of Geniza and we can't take care of the Geniza of all the Shemus, then it could be burnt. even though this might be considered an Issa Dioraisa. Lo Yisasun Kein LaShem Elokechem. Nevertheless, it is better to burn the Shemus than have them strewn about Bebezoyin Godol on the streets and in the fields. The Knesset Yecheskel was one of the great Gedolim in the same generation. In the time of the Shvus Yankov, Simelamet Zion, Shalas Achuvas Knesset Yecheskel, he argues against the Psak of the Shvus Yankov. But that is the logic of the Shvus Yankov. And we find the same in Chazonish, Yoredei Hilchos Sefer Torah, Semekuf Samech Dalet Od Gimel, and also in Mesechet Yedayim, Semenchet Yud Chet. This fascinating and sad tshuva in Chsam Soifa Chelek Vov Semenches. An artist made a beautiful shar, and he wrote the Posek Zer Shal Hashem Tzadikim Yavohu Bo, and that was designated for the entrance to the Beis HaMedrash. In the middle of the night, some crazy person took it and put it up in the lavatories. People came to shul in the morning, and in the lavatory, in the Beis HaKisei, they had this beautiful artwork, Zeh Shal Hashem Tzadikim Yavohu Bo. And obviously, it was put there with concrete, and they couldn't take it down. And the Chasam Sofer writes, we could just paint it over, erase it, even though Mechikas Hashem is a very clear Isur, but Mechikas Hashem would be permissible to solve this tragic problem better than have this Pasuk in the Beis HaKis. Some years ago, I was asked by Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim. This was really a freak shaila. One of the young boys, obviously a troubled youngster. And obviously it was done in the middle of the night. Wrote on the walls of the Beis HaKis Hashem Havaya Boruch Hu 100 times. Yudkei Vavkei. And when the kids came in the morning to the yeshiva, everybody was shocked, totally shocked. What could they do? So I said, you know, if possible, just put tiles over those inscriptions. If impossible, take a goy and paint them over. This is similar to the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. And the common denominator of all these different sources is that even though we are doing an Issa B'Yadayim, if we just abstain in Sheval Taisa, others would be performing an Issa, not we. We could say, Es Nafshi Hitzalti. Nevertheless, it would be permissible to do an Issa B'Kum Vaseh, to be Mineya, that same Aveira, to a greater extent, to a more tragic effect, even though in that case, from our point of view, it would be Shev V'Altais. I think the most important source to prove this point is actually a Mishnah in Masechet Trumas, Perek Ches, Mishnah Yud Aleph. היה עובר ממקום למקום וכיכרות של תרומה בידו. אמר לו נוכרי, תן לי אחת מהם ואתמו, ואם לאו, הרי אני מתאמה את כולם. רב אליעזר אומר, יתאמה את כולם, ואל ייתן לו אחת מהם. רב ישוע אומר, יניח לפניו אחת מהם על הסלע. Person asked תרומה, and it's an Issa Dioraisa to be מתאמה תרומה, אס משמרס תרומותיי, כתוב. A guy says, give me one loaf of truma bread, and I will be metama, and I will spare all the others, but if you don't give me, I'm going to be metama all you have. Rabbi Leizer says, Shevel Tais Odef. Let him do what he wants to do. We will not cooperate. We won't give him a loaf. He should be metama. Rabbi Shua Omer, Give him one loaf. Try to put it on the rock. Don't do it be a dime, but cooperate. One would go to Tumah, but we will be sparing all the others. The Rambam paskens in accordance to the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua. Perek Yud Beis Alachavov of Masechet Trumas. It is from here that we could prove it is preferable, kum va'asei, even though we bear responsibility, if we do not cooperate, the outcome will be a more drastic one. And therefore, cooperate, give him one loaf, spare all the others. Now I am fully aware, Rabbi Yeshua says, Yaniach al gabei hasela. So we're not doing tumah b'yadayim. But nevertheless, this is the nature of the machlokes. We are cooperating to a certain degree. And it is kum va'asei vis-a-vis shev va'al tais. There is a very famous psak quoted from Reb Shlomo Zalman. Twice in Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim, Kuf Samech Gimel, Kuf Samech Tes, we learn that you cannot give food to a person that probably won't make a brocha. You cannot give bread to a person that probably won't do an Atilas Yadayim. When you have a person in your house, a Jewish worker, he won't say a brocha. He isn't from. Could you give him a cup of water? Just imagine somebody's working on your roof in the middle of the Middle Eastern summer. Well, there's still a lot of snow outside in Yerushalayim, but it's not that difficult to imagine. And the guy is sweating profusely. You won't offer him a cup of water, cold water? So Reb Shlomo Zalman argued, if you won't offer him a drink, you're being machshel him in the Eser of Loitisna Sochicho Belvavchu, which is an Eser D'Uraisa. Better be machshel him in an Eser of Berchas Anenu, which is only the Rabbanon, than an Eser D'Uraisa of Sinas Achi. The formulation Reb Shlomo Zalman used was, this is not hachshola, it is hatzola. I agree with the halacha, but not with the terminology, not with the formulation. This cannot be defined, hatzola. Reb Shlomo Zalman argued, Moshe lamad ovedoyme, person is eating chalev or dam, it's an iser kodesh. We offer, take a piece of nevela, it's only a lav. Would that be considered lifnei avodas mechshol? No, because the essence of our deed is to take away the chalev. We won't be successful in taking away the chalev unless we offer him an alternative. So we give him nevela. We don't have anything else. In our case, the iser of sinas achim is not lifoneinu. It might be the result of not offering a drink. But we cannot define his act when he offers him a drink as hatzola. Even in the case of chalev and nevela, I don't think it's that poshut. After all, we are giving him nevela to eat. I think the formulation is a different one. It is preferable to give him an iser kal and wean him away from an iser chomer. Not because it wouldn't be defined as lifnei avodas mechshol. It is nesinas mechshol, but nevertheless it's mutar. Because what is lifnei avodas all about? Lifnei avodas is about saving a person, another fellow Jew, or even a non-Jew from avera. And therefore, mutav shiavor isur kal, mishiavor isur chamur. It is not that it isn't defined as netinat mechshol. It is netinat mechshol. Ava mutar v'ratzui lachshir adam b'isur kal kedei lemnoa mimeno isur chamur. And I think that's pshat Rebbe Kiva against the Makuf Pei Aleph in the Hagos of Yeredeya. Noshim lo netzdavo al hakofes peas harosh. It is only men that need to have peas, not women. But the Shulchan Aruch says that a woman cannot be makif a ish. Rabbi Kiva Ege comments, that would be lifnei ever aset mechshel. So he says, no. If it's sad lifnei ever, there would be no iser, because she's actually saving the man menachet. If he will be makav atzmo, he is over on two isurim. Echod ha-makav, echod ha-nikav. If she does the hakafa, he's only over on one iser. And therefore, there would be no iser mitzad lifnei ever. That is the point I am trying to make. And it all boils down to the same yesod. I've had many shilas throughout the years of this nature. Just to mention two of the more significant ones. A senior doctor, one of the hospitals in Yerushalayim, being the head of a gynecology department, she's on the board that decides when abortions could be made and when not. Most of the abortions have no halachic basis or justification. So she could step down from her post, but then will they stop doing abortions? No. They will probably be doing more. Because after all, she's from, she's Yirat Shemayim, sometimes she has input. Sometimes she could influence the course of events and prevent abortions. So I definitely paskind, she should be on that board. Try to do as much as she can. On the other hand, one might argue, let them do what they do. Ani es nafshi itzalti. I'm not part of it. No, you should be part of it. Not always will it be within your power to prevent abortions. Probably in most cases it won't. But save as much as you can. Years ago, before the Jewish yeshuv in Gush, in Gush Katif was uprooted in Gaza. That was a very testing time of trial. It's a big nesoyin. And some of the rabbonim of the community asked for my opinion what to do with the shuls. Mikdosh Ma'at. Should they be left to the Palestinians? Or try to dismantle them, and whatever cannot be dismantled and transferred to another location should be destroyed. My opinion was that the shuls should be dismantled. What cannot be dismantled should be blown up. And my argument was of the same nature. To be meneacher al Hashem. Some political leaders, Anaskonim and Rabbonim, argue to the contrary. And they made two arguments. One is, Sheval Tais Odif. We cannot destroy a shul. What they will do, they will do. But I think they hope that ultimately when the Palestinians will desecrate those Botei Medrash, there will be an outcry and an uproar in the entire civilized world. I told them, they will destroy those shuls, they will desecrate them, they will be machal al shem shemayim, and nobody will give a hoot. To my dismay, my opinion was not accepted, and at asher yagorunu ba, one shul was turned into a mosque, another one they had pens of chickens and hens. Some of the shuls were burnt with the Palestinians dancing and singing. It was a terrible chilul Hashem. And the world, naturally, said nothing, couldn't care less. So these are just some of the halachic dilemmas of the same nature. An avera b'kum v'aseh, to prevent the same avera to a harsher degree by others. And as we proved from 7 or 8 different sources, this has a halachic basis. So this week we read the first parsha in Chumash Shemos. The Chumash that is defined by the Ramban as Sefer HaGolus VaHaGaula, the book of exile and redemption. As in Chumash Bereishis, we learned the story of the Avos HaKedoshim and the Shevotim, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, VeYud Beis Shiftei Ko. In this parsha, we begin to learn the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. We learn about the revelation of the thorn bush, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's demand that Moshe Rabbeinu go back to Eretz Mitzrayim and put the process of Geula into motion. Moshe asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, הנה יונה חיבור בני ישראל ואמרתי להם אלוקי אבשיכם שלוחני עליכם ואמרו לי מה שמו מה אומר עליהם. The people will ask, what is the Almighty's name? ויאמר אלוקים אל מוישה, אקיה אשר אקיה, ויאמר כה תאמר לבני ישראל, אקיה שלוחני אליכם. This is a name we found nowhere in Torah Nevi'im Veksuvim, only in this parsha, in this pasuk. What is the interpretation of this special and uncommon name? In the Rishonim we find various different approaches. Rashi, according to Chazal, says, "Ayemon begol azuv, ayemon begol yot achirot." And then Moshe asks, why mention Goliyos Acheros, Dailet Zora Bishato? I am coming to a people broken in body and spirit. They're still under the yoke of Golos Mitzrayim. Why mention Goliyos Acheros? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here's what Moshe has to say. And he says, no. Not Eye Asher Eye, but let's talk only about this Golos and its redemption. The Ramban offers a different interpretation. What is most interesting is the Rashbam. And the Rashbam offers his Pshat in a code, the code of Atabash, and he writes, Ein Megalan Ela Litznuim. I assume that anybody listening to this shiur is probably a tzenua, and everybody could figure out Atabash anyway, so it isn't really much of a secret. The Rashbam explains that Shem Havaya and Shem Ekya are one and the same name. Havaya Yudke Vovke essentially is like Yudke Yudke. And Alpika Bola Liosid Lavoi, the Shem will be transformed to Yudke Yudke, which is actually a Hebrew word, a word in Loshon Kodesh, Yihye, will be. Ekye is also a word. When a person refers to himself, he says, Ani Eheye, I shall be. When he points to a third party, he says, Hu Yihye, he shall be. So when we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say Yihye, which is the essence of Shem Havaya. Only once in history was HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded or required or asked to say what is his name. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyochel speaks, refers to himself, he says Ehye. When we speak to him or about him or referring to him, we say Hu Yihye. But the Rashbam does not explain, so what is the profound essence of Ehyeh or Yehiyeh. Ekyeh asher ekyeh. I shall be as I shall be. Basically, what this Shem dictates is Koyam Hashem, Ani Rishon, Vani Acharon, Umebalodai Ein Elokim. Tell the children of Israel, I and I alone am sovereign. Elokei Shemayim velokei Oretz, Ani Rishon Vani Acharon. Umibalodai Ein Elokim. There is no other force in the world besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this simple dictum is enough to give them chizuk. If they will really understand the essence and the depth of this simple awareness, I shall be as I shall be, without any shinui, without any change or transformation, and there is no other koyach in the world, mibalodai ein elokim. So Shem Avaya, coincidentally or not coincidentally, is also the Shem of Rachamim, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always loves us in the same way, in the same level, in the same degree. A love above and beyond anything we can possibly perceive, appreciate, or understand. So Havaya is the Shem of Rachamim. Havaya indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He alone, is the only force, the only power, in the entire universe, in the entire existence. And that is essentially the message that Moshe Rabbeinu has to convey to Bnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. There can be no change or alteration in the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Am Yisrael. He alone is sovereign. Takuf Ubal Yecholes Ubal HaKoyches Kulam. As we know from Rav Chaim Volozhin and Nefesh HaChaim, the mere hisboneness and this simple truth is enough to envelope a person, an individual, in Chasdei Shemayim, and to protect him from any other force in the world, to protect him mekol tzar, mekol nezek. That is the simple message HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys to Bnei Yisrael by means of Moshe Rabbeinu. As we go on in this parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Lech v'omar to the Bnei Yisrael, ויאמר עוד אלוקים אל מוישה, כה תאמר אל בני ישראל, השם אלוקי אביסיכם, אלוקי אברהם, אלוקי יצחק ואלוקי יעקב, שלוחני עליכם. זה שמי לעולם וזה זכרי לדורי דור. לך ואוספתו את זקני ישראל ואמרתו אליהם, השם אלוקי אביסיכם נראו אליי, אלוקי אברהם, יצחק ויעקב לאמור, פוקד פוקדתי אסכם וסעשוי לכם במצרים. Two psukim, one right next to the other. Parsha Gimel, Posik Tezvov, Posik Tezayin. So why do we find the same statement, the same introduction of both psukim? Koy toimer al b'nei Yisrael, Hashem elokei aviseichem niru elai. Hashem elokei aviseichem shluchani aleichem. I once suggested a pshat b'derech drash. It's drash, but I think it's a great thought. There's a story that Chazal tell him Bava Metzia Peyayom in the base. A story about Rabbeinu HaKodesh and Eliyahu HaNavi. So Eliyahu HaNavi used to come to the yeshiva of Rabbeinu HaKodesh every day to learn. Rosh Chodesh. He didn't make it to the yeshiva. A day later, Rabbi asked Eliyahu HaNavi, where were you yesterday? Well, I don't think any Rosh Hashiva and Yeshiva that would dare to ask a bocher, where were you yesterday? Today, no, that's not mechubados. Obviously, Rabbi was a different type of Rosh Hashiva, different norms. Eliyahu HaNavi, we could assume, was one of the chashuv bochurim in yeshiva. But Rabbi demands discipline from them all. So he asks Eliyahu HaNavi, where were you yesterday? Eliyahu says, I was so busy I couldn't make it. He asks, what were you so busy with? Eliyahu HaNavi tells Rabbeinu HaKadosh, I have a job in the heavens. Every day I wake up Avraham Avinu, I wash his hands, he davens, finishes davening, I put him to sleep, wake up Avraham Yitzchak Avinu, the same. When Yitzchak finishes his davening, put him to sleep, wake up Yaakov Avinu. Yesterday took most of the day. Obviously, Rosh Chodesh, Halal, Musaf, Kriyas HaTorah took up most of the day. I couldn't get to yeshiva. Rabbi persists, and Rabbi says, so why didn't you wake them all up together and let them daven together? You would at least make it to the yeshiva. And that is when Eliyahu HaNavi shares a secret with Rabbi. And he says, when the Oves HaKadoshim will daven together, that is when Mashiach will come. No Mesech HaMavdol, no iron curtain or iron wall would stand before the prayer of the Oves HaKadoshim when they are together. Time has not come yet, and therefore I have no permission to let the Oves pray together. I think these two psukim that we just read refer to two different golas. Pasuk number one refers to the Gola Asida, the end of days. Seshmi Leolam, Vesezichri Ledoya Doya. Pasuk Tetzayin refers to Golas Mitzrayim. Pokoit Pokadati Eschem, Vetasu Elohem, Bemitzrayim. So in the first Pusuk, referring to the Gola Asida, the Pasuk says, Elokai Avraham Lechud, Elokai Yitzchak Lechud, and Elokai Yaakov Lechud, not the three of them together. Each and every one of them on his own. Pasuk Tet Zayin refers to Golas Mitzrayim. In that Pasuk, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, V'omartu aleihem Hashem Elokei Aveseichem Niru alai Elokai Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov together. Meaning, regarding Golas Mitzrayim, the Geula is to come. Regarding this Geula, the Oves davened together. So this is Munech Bekufs. This is guaranteed. Not so regarding the Geula Asida. Regarding that Geula, the Oves, we're not together. So let us hope and pray that Rosh Chodesh Shvat Tovshi and Ayin Dalad Eliyahu HaNavi will be able to make it to the yeshiva Rosh Chodesh. I don't know where he learns today. I don't think I ever saw him in my koilo. Who knows, maybe I did, I just wasn't aware. But obviously he learns somewhere. Probably in Eretz Yisrael. So let us hope in this coming Rosh Chodesh he will have a permit to wake up Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov together and let them daven together. And that is when we will be zeicha. Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion v'niglo kvoid Hashem v'ro'o kol boso yachtov ki pi Hashem diber v'mheru v'yomeinu omeinu.